Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. So today we're starting a new series for the month. I'm calling it He is Our Rescuing Trust. Yes, that's the portrait of God that we'll be looking at today. As you know, I see all of Scripture as a collection of portraits of the Lord. We want to see Him. We always want to see Him when we come to worship together, when we come to just open God's Word to take a journey. The Word of God is designed to give us a clear view of the Lord Himself. And so this portrait that I'm drawing from 10 different passages with 10 different examples or takeaways that we'll be covering in the next few weeks is indeed called He is Our Rescuing Trust. And I know that sounds a little strange, but you know what? It's a very accurate thing of how the Lord wants us to trust Him in all the things that we encounter. Because when we do, He'll be rescuing us from all kinds of things. So if you have your Bible, let me invite you to make your way over to Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, one of the most well-known passages that deals with trust, but there'll be several others we're looking at. But as you're making your way to Proverbs 3, just a quick reminder that all of these 27-minute radio messages are archived on my website at markpg.org. And when you go to markpg.org, on the landing page, you'll see a series of gray boxes, and just click on the one that says broadcasts. Others say articles and videos. Those are 3-minute videos on portraits of God, and others say printed guides and things. So it's pretty self-explanatory, but broadcasts will take you to another landing page, and you just click on a box that says Portraits of God, and there you are. You're going to have the archives of these radio messages. So check it out, and all the other things, all designed to do one thing, help you hear God. And that's at markpg.org. Now, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I absolutely love coming together with my brothers and sisters. I love sitting at your feet with them. I love listening for your heart as you speak to our hearts. And Lord, this particular topic about, boy, trusting you is so, so critical in our understanding of how the Christian life really works. So Lord, as we take this journey together for the next few weeks, I pray you'll open our eyes. Let us see Jesus. Let us see you as our rescuing trust. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friend. Well, last time we looked at a series called How He is Our Empowering Rest. Now, as we look to Him as our rescuing trust, this portrait reminds us that the Lord is always there to rescue us from slipping into trying to do the Christian life by works or self-sufficiency or worry, as we put more trust in Him. So that's the overall theme. Let me take you over to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 for our first takeaway of the 10, if you're a note taker. And so as we look at this, it's pretty clear right off the bat. The scripture says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, did you get that? In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Well, this is probably on the top 10 list of the most often memorized passages, and for good reason. It really lays down a foundational truth that the Lord yearns for us to, number one, trust Him with all our heart. And of course, you know that in scriptural terms, heart always refers to mind in addition to the depths of our emotional and spiritual state. There's our intellectual and mental state, even our memories, all kinds of stuff. But we're to trust Him with all our heart. So let's talk about this. In sharp contrast, it's saying to trust in the Lord with our heart and not lean on our own understanding. You know, I got to thinking about how many ways I tend to do this, and I'm guessing I'm not alone. For example, there are times when something has come up during the day, some topic, some discussion, some meeting, some event, some stray remark, and it just hits me. It triggers me in some way. And that night I get motor mind. Do you ever get motor mind? It's when you can't go to sleep because you're just, your mind is just going over and over and over and over. Whatever happened that day or whatever possibility you're thinking about for a new vision or a new ministry or a new project or a way of handling a problem or dealing with a breach in a relationship or an argument you may have had or just a discussion. I mean, I sometimes get motor mind, and the crazy thing about it is it doesn't get anywhere. I just start revolving it and chewing on it over and over and over in my mind as in circles, you know, kind of like circling the airport and never landing, and I can't get to sleep. Well, that's a good time to just trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own motor-mindedness trying to understand it or prepare your next steps or your next conversation, my friends. Akin to that is the problem of overthinking. Do you tend to be an overthinker? Something's coming up, something is said, plans are being made, and you just start overthinking the thing. What did they mean by that? Or what can we expect at that? Or I mean, it can just go on and on and on as well. Again, trying to lean on our own understanding reflexively. Well, what about the what ifs? You ever get attacked by the what ifs? Something comes up, or you're getting ready to do something, or somebody suggests something, let's go this direction. Well, wait a minute, what if? What if? What if? Okay, well, what if? What if? Now, by the way, let me just pause a moment and say something here. Now, I think it is good to think thoroughly and to think ahead and think about some possibilities that we're going to have to deal with within reason. But I'm talking about when it turns into a motor mind, overthinking, and what-if scenario where you get stress and you get anxiety and you get pessimistic, you get maybe stuck in your ways, you get fearful. Now, that's when it's gone too far. That's when we're trying to lean on our own understanding and knocking ourselves down. Now, that's kind of thinking about things that are current. But here's another way we tend to lean on our own understanding instead of trusting in Him with all our heart. And I'll tell you the truth. This is one that I sometimes really struggle with. Regrets. When I think back to earlier years, earlier ministry positions and situations and relationships and stuff, and as I'm growing in the Lord, as I know and hope that you are, the Lord begins to show us deeper and deeper things in our hearts, in our lives, and we have these memories that get dredged up, and we see, oh my goodness, I can't believe I did or I said this or that and the other back then. What was I thinking? And regrets begin to set in. And it usually triggers other regrets. And pretty soon you can be overwhelmed with regret after regret after regret. And it's like, okay, what do I do to fix this? What is the cause of this? And then there we go, starting to get motor mind or overthink our past and get bogged down. Another way we trust in our own understanding, scripture calls it vain speculations in other places. You ever start, well, you hear about something maybe in the lives of your kids your adult kids or in a friend or your mom or your dad and stuff, or situation at church or at work or at school or whatever. And you start thinking, oh man, that happened? I bet what's happening is this and that and the other. And I bet you he said, and then I bet you they went to this way, and man, this thing is going to go crazy. And then you just kind of start playing out this whole thing. Worry starts coming upon you. You get this doom scenario. This thing is just going down. This thing is going crazy. This thing is going to explode. They are going to implode. I hope that this is striking a chord in you, because we all do this to one degree or another. This is just a way of trying to spotlight and highlight all the ways we reflexively lean on our own understanding. And what's the answer to this? To trust in the Lord with all your heart. It goes on to say, in all your ways, or in all these things, whether it's past or present or future speculations, in all these things, acknowledge Him, trust Him, and He will make your path straight. It's the idea of lifting up everything to the Lord. Lord, I lift everything up to You. I give everything to You. My thoughts, my speculations, my recall, my wounds, my hurt, my frustrations, my anger, this situation, that person, that ministry, this project. Man, I get tired just stating them. I get overwhelmed just trying to get my head around it. Oh, that's another way we try to lean on our own understanding. If I can just get my head around it, then we can make some progress. If I can just get some headway, if I can just get a neck up here, you know, or a leg up here, you know, then I can just, and then, man, it's just, we are crazy susceptible to reflexively approach things with a spirit of self-sufficiency. Our own understanding. My friend, self-sufficiency is the exact opposite of a trusting dependency on the Lord with all of our heart. Now, I know this is rough for us to hear, especially in our Western culture here. I mean, we're taught, you know, you need to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You need to think this through, you know. You know, just get organized, you know, and just, you know, bear up, press on, you know. Forge ahead, you know, and we white knuckle our way through life. We can do this. We can do this. I think I can. I know I can. I will. My friend, that is exhausting, and it will not make your path straight. It will make them crooked. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. You know, I have the wonderful privilege of working with a lot of churches, a little over 100 churches here in Southwest Florida, as I watch over our Southern Baptist churches in this region. And I tell you, I get to spend a lot of time with pastors and churches, and they share everything with me, from crisis intervention to strategic initiatives for missions and evangelism and stuff. Anyway, I just love brainstorming and comparing notes and sharing hearts with my brothers and leaders in these churches here in Southwest Florida. And as you might imagine, sometimes some serious, serious things can erupt in churches, because we're all still human. We're all works in progress. We all can come to that place where we think we're doing what's the best thing, and discover, nope, we were leaning on our own understanding, and this is going south. And it's hard for us to admit this. So we had one of our churches going through just, a train wreck year and some things that were happening among their leadership and all. And I had been offering counsel to them, but the leadership at the time felt like, no, we got this. And this is some of the lay leadership as well that was involved. No, we got this. A lot of them were successful businessmen before they retired. But now they felt like they knew tons enough to help, get things going in church world. Not realizing that church world is very different than the business world. Now, there are some overlaps, but I'm telling you, there's huge, huge differences. But they would not listen to counsel. And it went south, and it went south badly. They lost so many people from their church and all the uproar. Now, quickly, it lasted for about a year, and the new leadership God raised up, and they were able to bring healing and all, and then they brought in more leadership, and they were able to turn it around amazingly. But that year, I was just in agony for this church. This was so unnecessary if they just would have listened. And I had a brother-in-law visiting me, my wife's brother, and he too is in ministry, been an elder in his church, another part of the country. He was visiting us for a few days, and we got to talking about respective ministry situations and comparing notes and all. And over those few days, I had shared this particular one and different parts about it, among other things. But this was the one that was really, really giving me motor mind at night and heartache and worry and all. And as he was getting ready to leave, and he was thanking us and all, he said, you know, I just have one last thing I want to share with you about that particular church you've mentioned several times. I said, oh yeah, what's that? He said, brother, God's got this. God's got this. Oh, my friends, I cannot tell you how those three words just brought me back to my senses, to lean not on my own understanding, my own worries, my own vain speculations, my own sense of doom. Though those things were going to happen, and it had already been happening right before my very eyes, still, my brother-in-law was so wise just to gently remind me, hey, brother, God's got this. That's what it is to trust Him with all our heart. Lord, I began to pray then, you know what? It already is a big mess. And from the things you've taught me over the years, I see it's going to be even worse than this. But my brother-in-law was right. You've got this. I don't have to get my head around it. I'm not the one to solve it. It's a season in that church, but you've got this. In the big picture, and in your timing, and in your way, you got this. All I need to do is keep praying and be available for when you begin to do a deeper work. And that is exactly what happened. And the new leadership did reach out to me. We were able to compare notes once again, but they had already been hearing God and was on their way to recovery. Hey, my friend, I don't know what you're going through. Maybe health issues, and you're not sure what's around the corner. Could be financial, could be relational, could be ministry, could be all kinds of things. Whatever it is, your own heart, your own mind, your own sense of well-being might seem really dark. Can't get your head around it. Can't figure out next steps. It's okay. God's got this. God's got you. Oh, trust Him with all your heart. With all your heart. Your mind may not be able to make heads or tails out of anything. That's fine. Because you have the mind of Christ, and He's the one in control. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him to handle it in His time, in His way? That's what this passage is talking about. Trust Him with all your heart, especially when you don't understand. Hard as you may try, reflexively as you may worry, God's got this. Wow. Well, as we continue our journey, that's number one of 10. Let me take you over to Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. This one might surprise you. I love this one, though. It gives us another deep, deep truth. It's the story of when Moses was out in the wilderness with the children of Israel, and they were just complaining about all kinds of things, and food and water and stuff. And God had been speaking with Moses, and told him to speak to a rock to provide water, but Moses didn't. Instead, he struck the rock. And many of us think, oh, well, then then God said, you may not bring the assembly into the land that I've given them. And so most of us think, oh, well, it's because he struck the rock instead of speaking to it, or because he got angry. Well, no, that's not exactly it. That's not why he struck the rock, and it wasn't the striking that was the issue. That was just a manifestation of something deeper, and it wasn't anger. Listen to this in Numbers 20, verse 12. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is after he struck the rock and all, God called them aside. He said, since you did not trust me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, for that reason, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Now, let me make sure we get this right. The Lord, Moses had gone to the Lord. He was frustrated with the children of Israel, complaining again. God said, I'll provide water. Just go and speak to the rock. Moses, still with his frustration and anger at the people, went over there and struck a sea, and he struck the rock, and the water did come. But he did something that God was not pleased with, and there was a consequence. Said, you know, that kind of heart, you've been doing well, you've had your struggles like everybody else, but in this case, since you did not trust me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, that's the reason. You shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. So here's the second takeaway. We are seeing that the Lord, our rescuing trust, yearns for us to trust him with all our heart, but number two, to trust him as the Holy One. To trust him as the Holy One. You see, apparently Moses gave the impression to the children of Israel that when he went back to God to find out what to do, he came back in the same spirit and of frustration and anger and struck the rock. Here, there's your water. And God did it. And he made God seem as angry and as frustrated and irritated as he was. But God is a holy, holy, holy God, full of compassionate mercy, full of loving kindness, incredibly patient with his grace upon grace. And he said, Moses, just go and just speak to the rock. They'll see water coming from it. It'll help them understand that I'm here to provide for them, not in spite, not in anger, but because I love them. That's part of the manifestation of my holy, holy, holy nature. But he didn't do that. He dissed God in front of the people. He didn't treat him as holy. He didn't trust God when he said, just speak to the rock. Now, God's loving kindness, God's compassion, God's kindness, God's patience, God's grace is a reflection of his holy otherness, his holy, holy, holy nature. By the way, when it's repeated three times in the scripture, that's the Hebrew superlative. You know, we might think, say the word hot. Well, in Florida, in the spring, it's hot. But it's hotter in the beginning of summer, but it's really hot. It's the hottest in midsummer and late summer, right? We go hot, hotter, hottest. Well, in Hebrew, they won't use that kind of grammar. They'll just repeat it. Boy, in spring in Florida, it's hot, but then it's hot, hot. But then it's hot, hot, hot by the time you get to midsummer. Okay, holy, holy, holy. That's the only character quality we happen to see repeated three times, though love is mentioned everywhere as well. The holy, set apart love of God is there for us, my friends. He's not a distant ruler letting things play out. He's not a scowling overseer just waiting for you to mess up. He's not a detached father like many of us may have. He's not a harsh general that's making you take that hill. He is the holy God above. He's Emmanuel, who is also God with us and in us. Never forget that, my friend. He is with us and in us, not distant. He's the Holy One of God. And because he's with us, we're invited into his holiness, his rest. And we can trust the awesome, mighty, holy, set apart, compassionate, gracious God of the universe. And may I just say, as we're winding this down, this is why my radio message series and sermons that I preach in our churches, you know, wherever I'm asked to speak, it's always about a portrait of God. I want people to see God in every message that I share, because the scripture points to him. And he is indeed our rescuing trust. And the more we trust him, the more he will rescue us from trying to please him by our works, to trying to earn his love, to trying to pull ourselves up in self-sufficiency. No, my friend. The Christian walk is way better than that. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart and trust him as the Holy One. Well, Lord, we're just so grateful for this time together. What a journey we're taking as we discover you as our rescuing trust. Thank you, Lord, that we can rest in that powerful truth and portrait. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Until next time, fall deeper in love with the Lord, your rescuing trust.